Dear friends, can a Jew or a Lutheran be saved simply by their religious pedigree? Answer is flat out no. You see, the Jew to whom Paul wrote Romans chapter 2 had thought himself as the chosen, the enlightened, the ones that would instruct others. They were the leaders. But there was a problem. What was wrong with their assumption? Well, they had begun to think of themselves as those who were the epitome of their faith, and they had lost their way. They were, in fact, off base. And God was redirecting them through His Son, through the Apostle. And Romans is a great treatise for us. And today we blend together the Not Ashamed series and Reformation to look at the whole scope of how the gospel came to Dr. Luther through the book of Romans. You know, just because you go to worship every Sunday doesn't mean that your ticket to heaven has been stamped. It has to do with your heart. You can go through all the external rituals and motions as the Jews were capable of doing, and especially the Pharisees. Remember how the one Pharisee held his hands up. Jesus, through Paul, was writing earlier in our text, right before the text that we'll be quoting, "You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Any Christian can be guilty of the same hypocrisy by not living according to their faith. Do you give an understanding to the people of the world around that they might want to push Christianity away when they see it in us? It may be that to hear this is good for us because we claim the Reformation, yet the Apostle Paul has said it can't be just ritual circumcision. It must be circumcision of the heart. Listen to Romans 2. I'm going to be quoting 25 to 29, and this is the context. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. If those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirement, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. I want you to see that the covenant made with Abraham was not just based on mere blood born into the line of Abraham or on ritual. To demonstrate this, I'm going to use an example of our modern consumerism. Have you ever noticed how things change and you're not supposed to notice? You do notice that there are sizes that change. The marketers have told that many companies that to raise a price bothers the consumer. So what do? Have you looked at your coffee cans lately? They used to be 1, 2, and 3 pounds. Now they come in 11 ounces. Have you looked at your shampoo? Well, they have a bigger plastic top because they've moved from 16 ounces to 14.5. Have you noticed that orange juice, the 1 gallon container, is only 96 ounces, but it looks like a gallon? And then ice cream, they've reduced it from a half gallon to 1.75 quarts. And the rationale they gave consumers when they complained was, it fits better in the freezer. It's almost like they're doing a favor for us. You know what they're called? Cheater cups. Because you can get a little bit more money for less product. Montaigne, an author and proclaimer of the gospel, once said, "I find no quality so easy to counterfeit as religious devotion." Jesus cautioned against dressing up the outside but not changing the inside. In Matthew, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Remember how they treated Jesus then. "You are like the whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." They had satiated their conscience by painting the tombs. They weren't supposed to be there. They weren't supposed to touch them. But they said, if we put a paint on them once a year, then we can touch them and not have any problem. They manufactured a human covenant. And that's what Luther felt he was inheriting. And we can do it ourselves. We can do it in our own family, our own church, and not realize. But Luther, when he turned back to the pages of Romans, discovered not an old but a consistent covenant throughout, and it revived him. The bulletin, you'll find my outline, the covenant God wants relationship. He craves relationship with us. Let's look at the Jewish leaders of this day and then understand how that choice must be relationship over religion. The Jewish leaders didn't realize how far from faith they had strayed. Now, the covenant. You can see Luther on the screen nailing the covenant that he had understood and found. We're going to look at the four flaws, and we're going to follow that with an explanation of the covenant in a video. Flaw number one, pride obliterates a need for mercy. In fact, in Proverbs, it says pride goes before the fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. In Romans 2:17, God was telling the Jews, you've become overconfident in your reliance on the law, your relationship with God, you boast about it, and it's not good. A recognition of God's will, they knew it, but they didn't do it, and a relish for moral standards. It was because they had slipped into a self-righteous, self-centered, self-deceived kind of mentality. And it was knowledge, as Corinthians says, that puffs up. So what can happen is that pride builds within and we stop the attitude that it's all grace. How can you approach mercy and grace and be proud? You see, Luther had this other part that precedes an understanding of the covenant. And that's that he felt broken and miserable in his sin, which the Jews did not comprehend. And so it's good for us to see also what Proverbs says, pride brings a man low. Flaw number two, privilege can lead to pride and it leads to presumption. And presumption asserts itself in a hunger for position. The Jews considered themselves the elite, the informed, the religious. And in fact, as you read Romans 2, Paul says that they thought themselves to be a guide for the blind, a light for those in the dark, an instructor for the foolish, the teacher of infants. And unfortunately, as Jesus came and left, they still hadn't changed. As Paul would discover, the Pharisees still were blind guides, as Jesus had called them, by their presumption. So pride, then presumption, which leads to a pretending, a pretentiousness. Pretending nearness to God became a prison. It's Jesus that would expose it. He says, do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. In Romans 2, he'll say it this way. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? See, religious people are good at telling others what to do, but they don't practice what they preach. Isaiah 29 could hit any one of us, and maybe all of us, right between the eyes. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. May we never get in that position where pride, presumption, pretentiousness leads us to profaning the name of God. I read a while back about a man who was presumptuous. He was impressed with himself, a man named Brighton. He had all the externals. He had his dress complete. He was a man of position. He went to the best most powerful authority in the community, the best church. And he noticed that there were some teens who were acting up, so he presumed that he would take control of them. He got a hold of the Bible class for the teens, and he started off there by saying to them, I want to show you the importance of living the Christian life. He turned to the class and said, why do people call me a Christian? After a long silence, one of the boys kind of mumbled to the side, maybe it's because they don't know you. But maybe his community did. You see, the problem with all of this is we end up discouraging Gentiles. And we are the Gentiles, but anybody who's outside from understanding the real love of God in Christ. We profane the name. Verse 23 says, you brag about the law, yet you dishonor God by breaking the law. As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You see, even in captivity, Israel had gone into captivity, and it wasn't because of the strength or love of God. It was because they were being disciplined. It was because of their disobedience, not because of his weakness. And the people of Babylon were laughing at God because of his people. And even today, one will have to look at these flaws and say, am I looking in a mirror? Do I understand that all of these sins are easy to accumulate? In fact, our lives are moral megaphones to a listening world because people really believe what they behold. They see us. And the question is, do they see Jesus? By doing this, in 2 Samuel, God said, by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. We are the only evidence that people may see of Jesus. And there's a difference between just going through the external contract and the real covenant of the heart. We're going to look at a video series here that helps us understand the covenant.
Creatures.
We'll finish this in just a moment because the covenant really emphasizes God's need for, God's desire for, God's effort to make relationship with us. At Mount Sinai, it was a bilateral covenant. It's like childhood. Israel was growing up under the direction of God, which would reach the promised land, and then the King David offspring would come. You read the breadth of Scripture, you'll realize that our choice can't be religion. It needs to be this side of relationship. Often the rituals of relationship drain a person's heart of love. We go to church and that's all we understand. We think that that has done it with God, and we think that God owes us because we were in front of Him, but He doesn't. God doesn't owe mankind anything because man has from the beginning broken. And you inherited a broken relationship with God. It shows in the sign of the covenant. The circumcision that was over the whole people of the Jews was a sign of the covenant that was internal with Abraham. In Genesis 15, God is the one that walks down the aisle of covenant. Abraham doesn't go. So just like the Noahic covenant, it was a one-way, unilateral covenant that God made with Abraham. So when the Mosaic covenant came, it had a completely different function than relationship. It had the separating and the building of God's people. And they were so mistaken, even as they wandered in the wilderness, that they forego circumcision. For 40 years, there's none. For 40 years, they wandered outside of the covenant, and they failed, as you know, to keep the commitments over and over. And yet God restores. As He brings up a new generation, and they arrive, they cut through the Jordan River, and they get ready for Jericho, the children of Israel are circumcised again. The sign of the covenant. And here's what the Apostle Paul is going to say. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. You see, the love and mercy of God are obliterated by the behaviors of mankind. And if you get disgusted with politics out there, you might realize that the sin heart is in here too. It's in the church. It was in Israel. It's in the Lutheran faith as well. And there is an understanding that if all we do is the external worship and following of rules taught by men, then it's just become an empty shell. Here's what he says in Deuteronomy. Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. God doesn't have any difficulty seeing the real person. He knows you. He knows me. He goes right to the heart, the innermost thoughts, the inner dynamic and dimension. He knows our motives. He can weigh our inner desires. And the human condition? He says, but if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors, their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and with Isaac and with Abraham. It comes from the Spirit. You can't get a new heart without the Spirit. It comes from time in the Word of God. It comes from deep investigation of the Word and investment in what David called the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. I know you know these words from Psalm 51, written by David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. David said, do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Only by grace. The cleansing empties us of flaws because our focal point is no longer ourselves, but Him. And as we get this, and as you see this final video clip, you'll see the covenant that is the New Testament, the new covenant, is connected to Jesus this way. A new beginning is exactly what we need. Because the religious person who focuses on external things so that people will praise him has missed the covenant. The true Christian, the true Israelite who understands and believes from a circumcised heart, understands that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's that bond with God. It was taught to Luther through this book. It is taught from generation to generation. There is something appealing about what we learn in the new covenant. And you? You see, faith is a gift. You didn't deserve it, and yet you find yourself following Jesus. We are children of Abraham. We follow Father Abraham in the footsteps of faith, not in the blood or the ritual, but in the way of Jesus Christ, his Son. And there, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Amen.